The North Texas stories you need to know. This is the All Local from News Radio 1080 KRLD.
More emotional testimony today in the Carmelo Anthony murder trial. KRLD's Austin York starts our team coverage.
Several former teammates of Austin Metcalf testified, recounting the events leading up to the stabbing. Each witness stated that Anthony, who attended a different school, entered their tent uninvited. According to their accounts, he was repeatedly asked to leave but refused, becoming increasingly agitated. The teammates consistently described Metcalf as calm throughout the encounter, while portraying Anthony as the one who was actively looking for a fight. They further testified that Metcalf made only minimal contact with Anthony after Anthony threatened him and reached for his bag. The group said they initially believed Anthony was bluffing until he suddenly pulled out a knife and stabbed Metcalf in the heart. One black teammate was specifically asked whether Metcalf was the aggressor. He replied, "No, sir." When asked if Anthony was the aggressor, he answered, "Yes, sir." The defense maintains that the stabbing was an act of self-defense. Austin York, News Radio 1080. KRLD.
Maria Guerrero from NBC5 continues our team coverage.
Jurors also very attentive to police body-worn video showing officers securing the chaotic scene in the bleachers. A witness alerting, "I found it, I found it." Officers then placing a blue tarp over the knife to keep rain from washing away evidence. An officer taking several photographs of the half-opened bloodied knife and what turned out to be Anthony's open backpack, both recovered near each other, a few rows up from Memorial's team tent, where Anthony is accused of fatally stabbing Metcalf in the chest after multiple student athletes told Anthony to leave their team tent.
Testimony is going to keep going on for another hour or so, and they're coming back tomorrow on Saturday. Keep it right here throughout the weekend. We'll have the latest developments.
And KRLD's Russell Scott continues our team coverage from the Collin County Courthouse.
It's only day two, but there's already been some black-white tension between supporters from each side. Dwayne is a Dallas black man who's watching things from the courthouse parking lot. He says he just wants to make sure justice is served in this case, but he's disappointed there are no African Americans on the jury. But there are three minorities, and he's hoping that helps balance things out.
They remember how they've been treated. They remember what's going on. And even if they have an implicit bias of what they feel an African-American or a black person is and or not, they still will remember how they've been treated.
The line of people waiting to get into the courtroom started forming just after 6 a.m., but not nearly as long as the one we saw on day one. Russell Scott, News Radio 1080 KRLD.
The president says the acting director of national intelligence, Bill Pulte, should cut jobs at the office.
This says a lot about how President Trump views acting officials. When you put somebody in this role but don't intend to keep them there, the president then believes that they can do a lot of significant work in that short period of time. He reportedly told the Wall Street Journal that Bill Pulte, in this role as acting director of national intelligence, could really shake things up, downsizing the ODNI. He could also push forward to release classified documents related to the 2020 election, something that, of course, President Trump likes to talk about a lot, and has said that the idea of having an acting official in this role gives you more power.
That is Karen Travers reporting.
World Cup excitement is truly here. Czechia's national soccer team landed at Dallas Love Field this afternoon. The team is setting up its base camp in Mansfield and will train at the newly renovated Mansfield Stadium. And we talked to Mansfield's mayor, Michael Evans, all about all this excitement.
I think about the possible economic impact that it will have on our city. I am just really happy for our sports fans. I'm happy for our restaurants and all the retail opportunities, the guests coming to town. They're going to get a chance to see that old-fashioned Texas and Southern hospitality.
Czechia is returning to the World Cup for the first time in a couple of decades.
And let's not forget, there's another team that's going to be making North Texas home. That's the Swedish team. They arrive tomorrow, and we're hosting millions of people. DART says it has to expand service.
The transit agency plans to increase train capacity, enhance service frequencies, and deploy customer ambassadors across the system. Jimmy Molina with DART says the goal is to make transit easy to use for both visitors and everyday riders.
Over the course of the 39 days of FIFA, DART will do more than just move people. We'll connect visitors to places, culture, experiences, and that make Texas special. From downtown and Fair Park to our local restaurants, museums, entertainment districts, and neighborhoods throughout our entire service area.
Visitors will be able to use the GoPass app in 11 different languages, including Arabic, French, and Russian. Molina says customer ambassadors will be stationed throughout the system, wearing bright and yellow-blue shirts, helping riders navigate trains, buses, and major destinations during the tournament. In Dallas, Emily Gupathio, News Radio 1080, KRLD.
And FIFA's announced a countdown concert leading up to the beginning of the World Cup next week. The night before the matches get underway, there will be a concert spanning Mexico City, Los Angeles, and Toronto. There will be live performances from Bryan Adams, Wyclef Jean, Belinda, and Yelena Rose, to name a few. Gets underway Wednesday night at 8 o'clock Central Time to be broadcast on FIFA Global Channels. The first two matches, of course, get underway the following day on Thursday. Then Friday features the first U.S. match. Sunday will have the first matches in both Dallas and Houston.
State of Texas stepping up its fight to try to prevent an outbreak of the New World screwworm. The governor updating the disaster declaration.
The governor expanded his screwworm disaster declaration, authorizing the use of all available resources, including university personnel and systems, to assist in accelerating the movement of sterile flies. Hundreds of millions of sterile flies have been released to break the reproduction cycle of the parasitic flies.
We are prioritizing resources for Zavala and Uvalde counties. We will expand the prioritization list as needed, if needed.
Zavala County is where the first and only infestation case has been found so far. New World screwworm larvae are flesh-eating parasites that can cause the death of animals it infests.
This is a highly treatable condition if acted on quickly.
From the 24-hour news center, Chris Fox, News Radio 1080 KRLD.
Russell is at the courthouse, and he's been there all week and will be for some time to come as the Carmelo Anthony trial continues. We've got another day of testimony, and
were you let back in, Russell?
It's quite a bit.
I was let back into the courthouse this morning. They did.
Okay.
Allow me to go back.
They didn't
in.
Have big posters of your face up there and saying, "Don't let this guy in."
No wanted posters, at least none that I saw.
Okay, good.
And no pictures. Don't take any pictures. All right.
I walked in, had my phone in my pocket, and I did not take it out. Walked with my hands open so they could see I had nothing taking.
Hands in the air.
Yeah, hands in the air.
All right, Russell, what's going on today? We've got, I know that a lot of the testimony after yesterday was pretty difficult, and especially for some of the family members in there. What do we have going on today? Tell us.
Well, so far today we've had and again, let me just paint the picture. The prosecution presents their case first. And when they call a witness, the defense can cross-examine. But we're not going to hear the defense case until probably sometime next week. So prosecution continued calling witnesses today. They've called, so far today, a police officer who was working right next door to the track meet at another athletic complex. He was one of the first to arrive, and they also talked to a paramedic who arrived on scene as well this morning. They're also being cross-examined by the defense attorneys. Again, you know, I got out here at 5:30 this morning, and they were not allowing the public into the parking lot at the courthouse until 6. But there was a line of cars already lined up down the road. And when they opened the gate at 6 o'clock, that line of cars went in very quickly and people lined up, even though the courthouse wasn't going to open until 7 a.m. They're trying to get a seat to watch what goes on in the courthouse. And really, other than that, you know, what I noticed in the courthouse itself, there's not a lot of people. There's not a lot the normal everyday activity you would expect in a courtroom. And I think a lot of that is because there's so much security and so much attention on this case that people are putting off courthouse work that they might have to do, or going to get their driver's license or whatever, or car registration. Maybe they're putting that off, at least for right now. But again, we've got some supporters of Carmelo Anthony who are out in the parking lot. You've got a lot of sheriff's deputies who continue to patrol the parking lot. And again, you know, we're gonna get information. Some of this is going to be kind of dull. But yesterday, as you mentioned, some of that was emotional. They listened to the 911 tape yesterday, and that was emotional. And both mothers are in the courtroom, and both of them were crying. And you know, on the 911 call, I'm told that you could hear Austin Metcalf's last gasp.
Oh, man.
Which is just horrible. Now, they've been watching some video as well. The camera is turned, or the screen that they're watching the video on is turned away from the gallery, so the gallery can't really see everything. But the judge this morning did tell the jury that nobody in the gallery is allowed to talk or make any noise or any facial expressions, and if they do, they're going to be asked to leave. NBC 5 says that three people this morning were asked to leave the courtroom because they weren't following the judge's protocol in that.
I can bet. So it's not just you that they're singling out there, Russell. It's everybody not following the rules.
And the judge has said he's just trying to protect the sanctity of the court and make sure that, you know, nothing happens that could lead to a mistrial or something of that nature. And he just wants to make sure it's a safe and secure location, which I totally understand.
What kind of testimony are we going to probably hear? Just more police today? Do we have any idea who's going to be on the stand?
I don't have any idea who's going to be on the stand, but we also have heard from a couple of coaches who showed up on the scene.
That's right. That's right.
One of those coaches was a former Army medic and said he got there and he kind of testified as to how he found Austin Metcalf and him trying to administer CPR and try to save his life. And he talked about how he wasn't able to do that. So we're going to hear probably more of that as they continue to set the stage. They're trying to show it was murder and that Carmelo Anthony brought that knife and was trying to cause some kind of commotion. The defense, of course, says that's not the case. They're saying this is a kid who had ace grades, went to work two jobs while he was in school, and it was nothing more than self-defense. But this is going to go back and forth. Like I said, they're expecting it to go for 2 weeks.
Good enough. Russell, thank you so much, as always. We appreciate it, and we'll check back in with you in just a little bit. Russell Scott is at the courthouse in McKinney. We mentioned yesterday that the jury in this trial, it's an all-white jury, and we had speculated, well, you know, that might be grounds for an appeal if it doesn't go the defense's way. Well, maybe not. The Dallas Morning News has been looking into this. Here's how it works. Either side obviously can ask to remove potential jurors, but the judge has to decide whether there's a legal reason to excuse them. And according to the Supreme Court, race is not a reason. You can't remove prospective jurors because of race. You can based on other things, like a prospective juror's occupation. And that was the case in this trial.
Yeah, they were all teachers, weren't they?
Yeah, three jurors, they were all black women, were struck by the prosecution, they said, because of their job. They're teachers, and so it's possible that prosecutors, they don't want any teachers on the jury because this case involves two high school students. The defense wasn't buying that, saying that race was, in fact, the reason. And so they asked for a ruling from the judge. But if you do that, you need to be able to bring receipts. You got to be able to prove that it was based on race. And Sandra Garrett-Thompson, she's a law professor at the University of Houston Law Center, who has studied jury selection, says that's a very hard thing to do. And apparently the judge in this case felt the defense didn't do it. So he allowed the prosecution to strike those three jurors from the pool. And that is how we've got an all-white jury in this case.
It's crazy that it came down to three teachers, because teachers, to me, if I'm a prosecutor, I wouldn't want any teachers on that juror anyway. Doesn't matter, white, black. It's amazing that all three happen to be black, all three happen to be teachers. That's crazy.
Why wouldn't you?
Because you're thinking, okay, I can see my high school student. I would not. You have sympathy.
Yeah.
You're a teacher. My mother was a high school teacher, and she has had her fellow or former students go down bad roads, and she always had a heart for them. Oh, I remember they were so good, and I could see the good in them and this and that and the other.
But as a teacher, you could potentially have sympathy for either one.
You would think, but in this situation, you would just say, hey, let's just strike them all together. It'd be like somebody saying, I don't know, you know, I've got a kid who's 17. Yeah, you could have sympathy for both, but most of those people that have a kid that's 17, they struck.
The All Local is updated three times a day. For the latest news, weather, and traffic, listen to News Radio 1080 KRLD. Visit KRLD.com, download the Odyssey app, or ask your smart speaker to play News Radio 1080 KRLD.